Oh, man. Oh, man, oh, man. This guy's all, I've got a beard and I'm crossing the street in front of your car. So that was a long day. Oh, man, oh, man. My calves feeling fine. I feel right, you know, after that Oculus stream last week, you know, I'm saying that my neck hurt a little bit when I turned it for a day or so after that stream. But it took a day to set in, so maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and be broken or something. I doubt it. I don't know. None of that was particularly strenuous. Best VR game of the day? I would probably say Budget Cuts or Hover Junkers. Those are, you know, I think the important thing for the early days of VR for me are I want to see things that you just kind of couldn't really do without the tools at your disposal, the headset, the controllers, you know, whatever it ends up being, like stuff that changes the way we play games. And I think all of it will get there. It's just in these early days, like that's few and far between, right? I mean, you know, we're looking at stuff that was built for launch and, you know, a lot of the stuff on the Vive is obviously like early access and, you know, who knows what shape some of that stuff will take when it's finished, right? So, that's kind of the thing I'm looking for. I'm not saying, like, it's got to be a 100% fresh, new, unique experience, but, like, I just want to see systems, mechanics, like the mechanics based on your position and movement are really interesting to me. Where, like, hey, you know, or, like, you know, for Space Pirate Trainer, where it's like, I need to step out of the way of these bullets. Just a simple concept, really, but, like, or I need to duck under this stuff. Like, that sort of movement, I think, is important, especially for a game like that. And Hover Junkers, it was when I got right up over somebody and just fucking leaned over their cover and stuck the gun down into their fucking hover thing and just shot the shit out of them. That was the moment for that, where you're like, this is something that you kind of can't do on a TV or with a gamepad in a lot of cases, you know? I mean, I guess you could have like hold down this trigger and this button and he'll lean up, you know, you could build a mechanic around that, but to have it all, also the other thing that really stands out is games that have moments where you can try some shit based on how you would really handle a situation and have it work. Which is, again, you know, I think Hover Junkers is a good example of that. Of just straight up, like, that guy ducked behind the fucking junk on his ship to get out of the way of these bullets. I'm gonna fucking stick this gun over this cover and shoot him over and over again. Because that's what I would do. And that's what I did, and it worked. That's cool. That's fucking cool. you know, budget cuts, being able to kind of logic that stuff out a little bit, and budget cuts having, and some of that stuff's, you know, never going to show unless you're wearing the headset, because it's about peripheral vision and, you know, looking around corners and stuff like that. But, like, looking around corners in the game works in a way that is totally contrived in stealth games normally. You know, it's like it has to be a third-person game so Sam Fisher can get up against the wall and you, the player, can turn the camera in such a way that you can see around the corner. But now, like, you know, in something like that, you're Sam Fisher. You just fucking peek around the corner and it's good. And it works. And it does the thing you feel like it should be doing. It behaves in a natural, like recognizable as reality. It behaves, you know, that way. That's the important stuff to me. In the early days, anyway. I mean, I guess it's all important right now. But you know, cockpit experiences are cool, and they will make for immersive, exciting flight simulators and driving games, you know, like mech games and all this stuff. I think that stuff's really cool. And I think that stuff is vital, also, because you need things that will more closely resemble standard games and the way that standard games control and all that stuff. I think that there's still something to be said for pushing an analog stick in a direction and having that move your character, depending on the game. That said, like, you know, as we get deeper and deeper, you know, into VR being available and VR being out, you know, I want to see the experiences grow. That's the important thing. Into things you couldn't do any other way. And that's the... that's the important part about some of that stuff. And, you know, I don't like the room scale solution of like, warping around. Like, I understand why it exists, and I think it works well enough. It works well enough. But it feels limiting to me. And, it, you know, in some ways, right? I mean, in ways of, like, I need to teleport around this environment. Why can't I just fucking walk over there? And the answer is, you know, it's the hardware. You know, you just don't have a way to do that without it just being pushing an analog stick around, which in some games may be a better solution. In some games would kind of ruin the immersion or limit what you'd be capable of. Because I'm trying to think if there are any games that combine room scale with, like, analog stick movement. Because I think that would be really weird. Like, if it'd be like, oh, well, you know, I use the analog stick to move around most of the time, but then when I stop, it's a room scale thing and I can walk around this rectangle. Like, I don't know that that makes sense. Maybe it would. I don't actually know. I mean, Hover Junkers is, you know, kind of that, but not really. You know, there's the metaphor exists. You're in the vehicle. You're hovering around. You're moving your rectangle around in a way that is in universe and makes sense, and your brain believes it, and that's kind of all that matters. So I don't know. Like, these are all super hard problems, and they're expensive to solve from a consumer standpoint. It's already expensive to even get in at all. So, you know, when we start talking about omnidirectional treadmills and, like, all that sort of stuff, like, you know, that stuff will all happen. That stuff's already out there. But, like, this stuff will eventually ascend to where it needs to get to. The technology is too tantalizing and too real now for it to stop. And that's maybe the most exciting part about all this. But, you know, hey, like, surprise, surprise, a lot of the day one games are not fucking awesome. Like, that's not... And a lot of the day one games, even the good ones, are still... You know, for me, like, I wouldn't spend the $800 to play... Like, even us having one in the office set up, I don't know how many of those games I will play again. Like, I know they're going to make a lot of changes to Space Pirate Trainer, you know, like... as it proceeds, and, you know, that will be potentially very exciting. I will follow that game's development. I'm interested to see how it develops. And, like, I would like to play more Hover Junkers, but I also, like, does it have a campaign, or maybe it's getting one, or I should check in and see if that game is done or what the deal is there, because more opportunities to figure out how to play that game better would make sense. And I don't know that I saw a tutorial. I missed it, because that's kind of the thing about running these live streams, is that tutorials are slow because they have to be, and that ends up making them bad for a live stream. So there is that temptation with these things to just, like, jump in here. Let's get going, because there are a lot of games. We're going to be at this for, like, 11 hours. Let's go. And so on. So, you know, yeah, we moved through some stuff. Some stuff clicked, some stuff didn't. Some stuff may click if you spent more time with it, but I also think some stuff just isn't good. There are things in that lineup that are just like, man, this is kind of bad. This is kind of shitty. That toy plane game. It's just like, fuck, man, this doesn't control exceptionally well. Like, the UI, you know, it's like just full of vague typos, and it's just, it's not a clean experience. It's something that you just look at and go like, wow, did this just like emerge off green light? Shouldn't be a thing you say that automatically means like this game seems bad, but you know what I mean. It's not to say every game that goes through green light is a weird mess, but you know, polish can be hard to find sometimes. And that's the stuff that really goes a long way in VR. I mean, the lab works because it's a very honed and cleaned up experience. The lab works because, you know, there's a lot of writing around the edges and a lot of, like, just baubles to play with and just little things to interact with and just weird shit to do that makes it, like, in these early days of VR, but also, you know, in these early days of VR, like, a lot of the demos we did a year ago, I think, would still impress people if it was the first thing they did. Whereas, having done that stuff for a year or two or whatever it's been, the lab is kind of the... that's maybe a high bar, but I was going to say the lab is like the baseline. Where it's like, hey, you've done, these things are not necessarily like deep things that you will want to return to it again and again, but let's make them solid, let's make them show off an aspect of using this technology. And I think that's important. The lab is a great free thing. It's a smart free thing.
PlayStation Home needs to be resurrected for PlayStation VR.
So there is a social thing for PlayStation. I think it's part of PlayStation Worlds, which is the pack-in thing. I could be wrong, but I think that might be the case. Probably should be. But there is some kind of like, you know, hey, multiple players in the same environment doing stuff, throwing stuff back and forth, like that sort of stuff. But it's, you know, we're at a time when, like, think about if Job Simulator was something you could do on a tablet, because a lot of those interactions are things you could do on a tablet, just in terms of just, like, the core of that. You know, that it's not, there's no timer. You know, there's no fail state in that stuff. There's no like, oh, you didn't make the sandwich fast enough. You got to try this challenge again. Like, it's not a game in that sense. I mean, there are objectives to be accomplished. I'm not saying like, oh, it's not a game, you know, like in that dumb way. It's not challenging and it doesn't need to be. But a year from now, stuff like that would need to have more. I think. That's, you know, we'll see, I guess. But right now, I look at that stuff and go like, you know, in right now, day one, month one, you know, as this stuff is still getting out there for the first time to people, something like that where, you know, it just, it leans on its writing and it, you can be very inventive with it and have a really good time with it and it's just this silly, fun thing. I think we will reach a time where there have been enough of those. Because a job simulator is very fucking good at doing what it does. But we will reach a point where that's not enough. And, you know, I don't know if, if you added a timer to that, I don't think it would be a better thing. I think it would actually probably be worse. And it's the really tantalizing thing about all this is if you look at where we are today, where there are experiences that exist today, regardless of headset, you know, it's like this isn't about like one headset or the other. It's like that again. It's a fool's errand to go back and forth on that. And I understand people have to place their pre-orders and do their stuff, and that makes them feel a certain way. But like at the end of the day. It doesn't matter. There are experiences right now, today, that justify the existence of it. If you know, if not the cost. I don't think that there's anything out there for any of this stuff that I would want to go spend headset money on a headset. You know, either one. If every game was available for one headset, then maybe you'd start to go like, well, yeah. But there's enough stuff out there that, like, proves it all works and proves that it can do things that nothing else can do. And that's the exciting part, because then you start to really, you know, the mind begins to race at, like, well, what happens when these things are fucking $200? Like, what happens when the technology needed to drive these things at the level that they're being driven by that fucking 970 in there? What happens when that power is in a phone? You know? Like, what happens then? What happens when this stuff truly becomes attainable? When we're one or two generations of screen tech ahead of where we are right now to put in those things? And, you know, what happens when they get extremely lightweight? The optics get cleaner and clearer and wider and can, you know, give you more peripheral vision and, you know, and AR at that point, you know, if you get into augmented reality, you know, is that stuff like you, this, that's when it just, you know, it's really fucking crazy that this stuff is available for people to buy at any price, you know? And there's a software library for it. And they're like, I don't know, we made a fucking bow and arrow game. You know, that we're at a point where that's just a fucking thing that can happen. Some guy sets out to make a fucking bow and arrow game and then sits down and does it for this fucking VR headset that you can go out and buy for $800. Like, what? That shit is fucking nuts. I don't think that bow and arrow game is particularly great. I wouldn't want to spend $800 just to play that bow and arrow game. Uh, But that it's a, that it's possible at all is huge. It's a landmark fucking moment for technology. You know, this is the sort of thing that, you know, could be pivotal. You could look back at these moments and go like, man, remember when that shit was out? Man, it was fucking garbage. Look at what we have now. Fuck that shit. Like, think about how fucking cool those fucking headsets will be. What a fucking time, man. You know, what do the controllers look like then? What does hand tracking look like then? What do interfaces evolve to become as the controller tech changes and becomes more and more natural? That's the actually interesting stuff, you know? Because, like, you think about budget cuts. Like, it's got a pretty intuitive interface in terms of, like, okay, I manage my inventory this way, and I can hold this button to change these tools into crossbow or pick stuff up tool or teleport tool. And it's intuitive, and it's, like, large parts of it very quickly became second nature in terms of, like, me moving around and, like, the parts that were the least natural, even. Like, moving around. But then, when that robot spotted me and I had to very quickly try to change things, like, there was that fidgety moment of, like, what the fuck do I do? I need to get this knife out, oh God. And there were just a few too many steps for that to be something that I got on the first try. And maybe some of the people would, you know, get it on the first try. So, you know, I'm sure there's a skill associated, there's a speed, you know, like there's that sort of stuff. But what happens when the interface evolves to the point where even in those fidgety moments, it feels as natural as real reality? That'd be a weird one because what, do I have a backpack full of knives and I have to reach into the backpack? That'd actually be slower than thing it was, you know, letting me do, but stuff about the social aspects of this stuff that people are only beginning to dream about, like, what is possible, you know, like seeing Brad walk around that environment with fake Will Smith is powerful, is like almost emotional in a way. And that's similar to the part, you know, the back in E3, seeing Dan do the Oculus Touch demo with Palmer Luckey, and watching him go through that process and hand the stuff back and forth and do all that stuff, like watching it happen and watching it happen in such a natural fashion is the thing that becomes, like, so fucking powerful. like, damn near move you to tears, like, holy shit, how did we fucking get here, type shit. You know, the potential for this stuff just seems unlimited right now, and I couldn't be more excited about virtual reality. But the vast majority of these games are not worth spending hundreds of dollars on a headset today for. And, you know, whatever. Maybe you got the money and it's not a big deal. Like, you know, maybe you got the space for a Vive and you're like, whatever, I got the space for days. Who cares? I'm a fucking warehouse magnate. Let's go. You know, so, you know, different people are going to have different takeaways from that stuff. You know, I certainly don't begrudge anyone that buys any of those headsets. I'm happy to have one in my house. It's just not something I use. Like, that's maybe the saddest part about it, is I have this Oculus Rift sitting on a desk at home, and I get home and look at it and go, oh, yeah, that thing's pretty cool, and then don't actually put it on and don't actually play anything on it, because there aren't games there that I feel a real need to play. I'm confident that all of that would happen. You're not going to read a day where every single thing that comes out on VR is amazing. Like, it's never going to be that. But people will start to figure things out. Ideas, you know, will form and concepts will coalesce into best practices, and to see, you know, certain things become dominant in design and all of these things that, you know, and hopefully that'll happen around, like, what's the natural thing here? What's the natural move? Not what's the you know, quick kind of clutch we can throw together to make this work for now, but actually figuring out how to solve the problems of, like, locomotion and that sort of stuff for these things, for these games, for these experiences, whatever they end up being. And then there's butts, you know? But you see hints of that all over the place, and I think it even applies to something like Eve Valkyrie, you know? Like, your first great cockpit experience in VR. In terms of the technology meshing up with the feeling of being in the cockpit, I do not think Eve Valkyrie is a great game. I barely think it's a good game. But that doesn't matter. It's not about, like, oh man, the bots are good or the bots are bad. And, you know, like that stuff's important on, like, a, you know, is this a fun video game level. But if you look at the stuff it does and nails, and, you know, the feeling of being in this cockpit, not even the stuff that nails, but if you look at its attempts of, you are in a fucking spaceship, go, and launch out of this bigger spaceship, and the feeling of rushing out of that spaceship into fucking space, and being able to look around in this glass cockpit, and acquire targets, and fire at them, and, you know, do all that sort of stuff, and have it feel natural. That is so, so important. But the bot AI sucks. But, you know, and the flight control is fine, but it's very basic. It's, here's the timer for your countermeasures, and here's the machine gun, and here's this. And I wish I could change the color of the HUD, because a lot of the red reticles are getting lost because of my color blindness. You know, like there are tons of little things about that game that I think make it not great. Like I said, barely good. But it will always be the first space flight combat thing I did in VR that, like, made some amount of intuitive sense. Like, Eve Valkyrie is the thing. Other things will do it better. And that's exciting, too. But, you know, there are firsts. Like, the fucking playing budget cuts and reaching out for a fucking wall that wasn't there to try to fucking hold, prop myself against a wall. Like, I wanted to lean against a wall like a fucking, like you do in a stealth game. And look around that fucking corner. Like, when I got down on my fucking knees and needed to get back up, I wanted to fucking reach out for that chair, reach out for that fucking wall, and steady myself as I stood back up. Because that's what you do when you fucking stand up. And other people have had similar experiences like that in other games, but it just never happened for me that way. Until now. And that's the stuff that room scale can do, you know? And every method's gonna have its pros and cons, I guess, right? I mean, there's no fucking silver bullet. Here's how every single game should control and act and look, and here are the sensors you need to achieve that. You know, maybe we'll get there. I imagine we will. Where it's like, no, here's the ideal setup for sensors and what the headset is and what the controllers are. Here's the ideal setup to make all that stuff work. But right now, you know, yeah, you know, room scale has its disadvantages, both logistically and just in terms of, like, you know, what it means for moving around a larger world and all that sort of stuff. Seated VR with a gamepad is, you know, that has its limitations. Standing VR gamepad or with motion controllers, that has its limitations. But each method also has its pros. And that's, you know, and as that stuff comes together, as time goes on, as developers get better and spend more time, you know, making stuff for VR and figuring out the best ways to do that stuff, like, it's only gonna get better. Like, think about the fucking first iPhone. Think about the early iPhone apps when that app store launched. Think about, you know, where we used to be with other forms of technology and how commonplace some of that stuff just seems now. And then think about what a virtual reality headset does in 5 fucking years. But yeah, those were the things today. The things for me were leaning over into that guy's hovercraft and shooting him over his cover. And having that work and having that be, like, actually effective. And even just the feeling of reloading those guns was actually fucking super fun and great. Even if I, like, rotating your thumb on the thumbstick to spin the cylinder, I guess that makes sense. I was going to say that this seems a little weird, but no, it's fine in terms of simulating reloading a pistol. And reloading that shotgun. Just snapping a shotgun shut with motion is a real fucking badass fucking thing to do. That's cool as hell. That was even cool in that fucking dumb skeet shooting. But that was it. Those were the things. Your ability to do that, your ability to really manipulate 3D space in a video game that way, to lean over cover get the job done. And reaching out for those fucking walls in budget cuts. And realizing that they weren't, you know, and catching myself. Thankfully, catching myself before I actually tried to fucking put weight on fake walls to stand up. Fall all the way over on my fucking ass. But those moments matter to me. And I think they will, you know, assuming this stuff stays on track and, you know, we don't lose all of our best minds to fucking nuclear holocaust or whatever the fuck. That's the scary part. It's what happens when the real world gets in the way of fucking advancing technology fucking craziness. What happens when VR has to get real good because global warming is fucking, well, this is the only way I can go outside anymore. Yes. But that shit is fucking happening. The headsets work. The headsets finally fucking work. In the 90s, they didn't work. I tried Sega VR. It was fucking garbage. It didn't fucking work. I went and played fucking Dactyl whatever, the virtuality setups. I fucking went to the laser tag place that had those and played it. It was fucking dumb then. It was neat, but it barely worked. The only stuff from back then that I think worked was the location-based entertainment stuff, Battletech cockpits. Magic Edge, which is a flight simulator thing that was down in Mountain View. But those are, you know, you're paying 20, 25 bucks a pop to do those for 20 minutes or something. And it's worth it. Or it was then in fucking 1992. You kidding me? Fucking 1992? Going to fucking Chicago and going to the Battletech Center in the mall there and getting into this cockpit that fucking slides shut. And has these fucking screens, and it's like fucking out of the running on a fancy Amigas or fucking SGI workstations, I think is what Magic Edge was running on. And, you know, it's like the graphics were fucking primitive compared to where we're at now, obviously. And even then, you know, it's like frame rates were not, we weren't mistaking that for reality. But you were in this closed up fucking cockpit with, you know, with the screen right in front of you and all these buttons. That shit was like Steel Battalion times fucking 10. And you played Team Deathmatch, basically. And it was fucking awesome. It was like a laser tag. It was like going to Qzar or something. You know, you go and, you know, the guy talks to you up front about what you're doing, what you're about to do, how to do it. Like the guy would tell you how to put on the fucking laser tag fucking vest and all that other shit. Then you do it. And then you get out and you look at your scores and see how you did and all this other stuff. And, you know, it was like that. But you got in these fucking cockpits and did this shit. And they gave you a little membership card. You got to choose your call sign. And they barked at you in a militaristic-like way, like you were really getting a mission briefing. And you were like, dude, you work at the fucking mall. Stop it. Jumpsuit. You actually had to get into a jumpsuit for that thing, too. They really, you know, they put some time into the experience. Put on your fucking jumpsuit. Suit up. Get in here. Whatever, you know, I went to Chicago for CES when I was in high school, you know, because CES used to be twice a year in Chicago and in Las Vegas, and that's where the video games were before E3 existed. So when I first started doing industry stuff when I was 16, we went to that Battletech Center. There was a party there, I remember. Yeah, man. It was fucking awesome. That thing was fucking awesome. You didn't necessarily mistake it for reality, but it was an experience you couldn't get anywhere else with controls that just didn't exist for consoles, for PCs, for anything. all this custom-built stuff. And it was just out of control how fucking great it was. And you paid, you know, like I said, it was probably $25 for 12 minutes or something like that. And Magic Edge was a, you know, it was a flight simulator running on SGI Sparks or something like that. And around the same time, you know, 93, 94 maybe, going down to Mountain View to do that. And those cockpits moved because it was a flight simulator. They didn't roll full 360s, but they got around enough that when you did a 360, you felt like you were rolling all the way over. Between what you saw on the screen and the motion of the cockpit, your brain believed it. And Magic Edge was awesome, too. But it was the same type deal. You know, you showed up, you paid some amount of money for, you know, 20 minutes of flight time or whatever it was. And you flew around, you did some dogfighting. You had a bunch of controls in front of you, but it was, you know, it was relatively simple. The Battletech stuff was not hard to grasp, either. The Battletech stuff actually had advanced modes you could turn on. Like, Torso Twist was not on by default. So you turned your battle mech, and your viewpoint turned with it, you know. But if you unlocked Torso Twist, you could get all fucked up and go like, I don't know where the fuck I'm pointing or where, I don't know where I'm going. None of this makes any sense. I'm just getting the shit shot out of me. Battletech had shit, you know, because heat is a big deal when you're in mechs, right? We all know this from our real life mech experience, that you shoot the fucking guns a lot, the mechs overheat. You get shot with a laser, your mech heats up. You gotta look at your heat sinks. You gotta care about that shit. And so there were safety things in the mech that would shut your mech down temporarily. If it got too hot, it would shut down for emergency cooling. But if you wanted to fucking go all fucking out, there were switches to the right of the monitor. There were a bunch of fucking toggles. And some of, like, you could flip those and override the fucking safety setting for the heat shutdown and push it all the way up to the limit. You might fucking blow up if you push it too hard with the heat. But those extra fucking shots, those extra fucking laser shots, missile shots, whatever you get off, might kill the guy that's shooting you and might fucking save you. That shit was fucking cool. But, fuck, man, it's fucking garbage compared to today's console games. You know, even Steel Battalion, for as, like, not a great game as Steel Battalion was, it looked a lot better. And the controller was something you could put in your home. I don't like their take on the mech as much as actual Battletech's was. And then, you know, Mech Assault was just a straight-up console game, but, you know, a lot of the same mechs, you know, from that, it was obviously, it was the same universe, so. Mad Cats or Wildcat, you know, whatever. That sort of shit. Mech Warrior shit. It was over 20 years ago. And for as much better as a lot of shit did get, very few things have attempted to do immersion the way that those things did. In terms of, like, closing yourself in a dark cockpit. Yeah, you could build your own. You could be that fucking guy. Get your OTAS, you know, build your big screens. You know, take your whole garage over with big flight simulator hardware. But, like, it never became something that people could do in a mainstream sense. And, you know, console games got a lot better since then, too, obviously. You know, well, better, but, you know, a lot more technologically advanced now. good-ass fucking console games come out in the early 90s. This shit is on par with the way I felt coming out of that stuff for the first time. In terms of, like, this is something wholly different than... Like, wow, I can't believe this is even possible. That stuff, the, you know, the immersion stuff of VR, of something like an Eve Valkyrie, you know, like, budget cuts, you know, some of that stuff. It's the consumer accessible, fully modernized, way more immersion-based, like, focused thing. You know, compared to Battletech, compared to Magic Edge, compared to that sort of stuff. But I do have that same feeling of, like, it's not the same feeling. That stuff was cool, but it was a big, elaborate video game. You know, and you could look at it and go, like, you know, the best you could do at that point, because arcades still mattered then, is you could look at it and go, like, well, this is going to change arcades. But you never really thought, like, I'm going to have a Battletech cockpit in my house. Because who the fuck would do that? But I can have VR in my house. It's not easy, depending on which version of it you want to get. But it can be had. At a fucking fraction of the cost of one of those fucking Battletech cockpits, along with the software required to fucking run it. Those things were thousands of dollars. Talking to him about it, like, you know, what would it take to get one of these? Like, probably like $5,000-$6,000. Like, all right, well, okay. Also, one cockpit doesn't do you any fucking good, so good luck with that. That's the thing, it's like, we'll get to a point where virtual reality becomes more accessible to more people, and the price comes down, and, you know, mobile solutions will become more attainable, and eventually the desktop stuff will follow, and all that. Like, that'll happen as the technology improves. But when I look at it from, like, that point of view of, like, how crazy that stuff used to cost, you know, how crazy the costs were associated with some of that other stuff, and old VR setups and all that sort of stuff, like, the idea that you could walk out and buy a PC for, what, $1,500? And then stack another $8 on it. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of money, especially when you look at the roster of games that are available right now. It's insane that you can do this at all for that amount of money. That doesn't mean that most people should go out and buy it right now. I'll keep saying it. I might even recommend just, you know, if you're like hot and heavy for one. I mean, granted, if you're hot and heavy for one and you haven't pre-ordered one yet. Gonna have to wait anyway. But I would probably say, like, hey, you know, wait 6 months and just see how it goes. You know? Just hang out a bit. See how the software develops in the early going. You know, maybe this stuff will take huge leaps and bounds immediately. Maybe the Oculus Touch controllers will come out and they won't do the things you want them to do. Or maybe the tracking that the Oculus offers will be totally adequate for doing that sort of stuff. Maybe the Vive will get cheaper. PC parts almost certainly will. Maybe the PlayStation VR will come out and be like a perfectly adequate first VR setup at a more reasonable price point. You know? And that's, you know, the camera, you know, the camera is not the lighthouse sensors, right? The camera's not even the Oculus sensor. Move controllers are not Vive wands. You know, there's going to be different limitations. But at that price point, maybe that's okay. Or maybe that price point forces more adoption of virtual reality, period. Which then gets more developers on board developing things for all the headsets. I think that, you know, even if you, like, the, you know, the little bits and pieces of, like, incompatibilities and, like, stuff that hasn't been made clear and all that sort of stuff is frustrating, but I do think that even if the companies were at odds with one another and not, like, having this kind of, like, Cold War mentality, like, hey, we all need to work together. I mean, not really, but buy our stuff, but, hey, we all need to work together. But the real truth of it is if any of the headsets sell, developers making games will want to make those games for all the headsets. Unless they're doing business deals that prevent them from doing it. Like, there's no reason not to. So I feel like even if you went out, even if you bought a Vive, having the Gear VR out there at its price point, having PlayStation VR coming out at its price point, getting more people thinking about VR, getting more people being the early adopters for VR, regardless of platform, is the thing that gets more software developers thinking about ways to tackle the different problems of VR. And it won't be some big mainstream success this year. You know, I don't think anyone... No one's expecting it to be. I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, and, you know, certainly not every case, I think people have their reasons, but, you know, when I think about the people that are, like, totally down on VR, just like, whatever, fuck this shit, it's garbage, it's a fad, it's gonna go, like, that's, it's quite possibly, it just, that just seems like such an incredibly ignorant stance to take. And it's hard, because, you know, again, if you haven't fucking put the fucking headset on, it's real easy to look at it and go, like, what the fuck are these fucking reject-ass fucking Wii games? I see you shooting fucking bow and arrows, and this shotgun looks terrible. What the fuck are you even doing trying to pick up that fucking other rifle? You can't even fucking fire it. What the fuck is this shit? Like, it's easy to fucking go there. But I think that there are a lot of people that are afraid to fucking go there. Because it's fucking pricey. the notion that, like, that there's this $800 fucking headset and fucking controller combo unit that you need to devote a fucking room of space to, but once you do, there's some fucking real crazy shit you can do there that you kind of can't do any other way. Like, that's terrifying. That's Dan trying to convince people that 16-bit consoles are just fad and his Nintendo's gonna be good forever because he knows he can't get a new console. At some level. It's not everyone's in that same boat for this stuff, but... That would be my only, like, word of warning to people, regardless of whatever headset they might want to get right now, is that these things are pricey, they require high-end PCs that you might not have all the parts for right now, and the other requirements for them are steep, and on top of all that, many of the games are not good games. But I certainly, you know, at the same time, I don't think that anyone that does go out and do that, assuming they're not, like, spending every last dollar on one and hurting for months and that sort of stuff, like, it's, you know, don't go into debt for a VR headset. But if you're in a position where you can afford one and it's okay and it's not going to cause problems and you're still going to be able to eat and all that sort of shit, I, you know, you could get one. You could do that. I would totally understand why someone would do that. Like, it's certainly not a case of, like, oh man, you idiot, you wasted your money. It's like, no, this thing's totally fucking badass. Like, just know. Just know. Take away one thing from these streams we've done. Make it this, that the games are not there yet. And that you might be hard-pressed to find something that you would want to play in the second week of owning one. Unless you just get latched onto one of these things and really keep coming back to it. It's not impossible. But I think there's just the range of products that are available for sale that work with the headsets. There's just not enough depth there today. But your headset will probably still be pretty good tomorrow. And, you know, like, I get the mentality of the early adopter. I like getting shit when it's new. It's fucking cool. But I think it's totally reasonable to hang back on this stuff and see how it all develops. Even if you're not skeptical about the tech or anything else. Like, I think it's perfectly reasonable to go, like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna wait and see how this goes before I invest in this stuff. I do think that if you do, you know, if I don't know how it would happen. I don't know how it will happen. If virtual reality comes to your town, do what you fucking need to do to try it. and try it with the notion in mind that, like, again, that a lot of the games demo well. A lot of the games are fun twice. But try that shit. It's fucking crazy. I guess just be careful. So like I said, a lot of that stuff demos well. And if the fucking VR truck comes to your town and they're selling fucking headsets out of it, letting you demo it, I totally get why someone might put that thing on once. Try any Valkyrie or try, you know, like any other kind of games you might consider marquee games. And just say, well, fuck that. Need this right now. Fuck you. But like, how much... No, just... Okay, no, fine. Here. Give me this thing. Careful. That draw is fucking strong. All right. I'm home. And that's, great. I'm gonna try to eat a proper meal. If I can. Like a bowl of cereal or something. I don't know. That'd be great. I haven't eaten much today. Anyway, I'll be back in the car tomorrow morning. See you guys later.